to return tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. And we're starting at the last verse of chapter 15 and going three verses into chapter 16. Not a very long section. I think a section that often we just read over quickly to get to the good part. But I'd like to look at this especially tonight. This is Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 47. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Normally we look on to the next passage because we're waiting for them to discover. And it's exciting to wait for them to discover. But imagine that we could rewind. We know what's going to happen. We are excited for them to see it. But imagine we could rewind and watch their faces as they come. Because they didn't expect to find the tomb open. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were conscious that it had been sealed very securely, and they really didn't know how they would solve the problem. And they weren't joyful on that first morning of the week. We wake up on Easter morning and we're prepared to rejoice. But they woke up on Easter morning and they did not rejoice. But they went to the tomb. And as in many places in Scripture, it seems almost especially marked, women come forth in such a wonderful way. We want to look at these women, these amazing women, as they came to the tomb that morning, as it were, rewinding to just watch their faces, to see them, to listen to their conversation as they approach what we know is coming. That's what kids like so much about movies they've seen before. See them again and again, because all the way along, you know what's going to happen, but the characters haven't found it yet. And you're waiting, and somehow the anticipation becomes more exciting because they don't see it. It hasn't happened yet, and then it happens, and there's this probably the coming in of instruments and the sound and all the other things that go with it to make you feel something. But the wonderful thing is that you can go back and see it, work up to it. We're doing that tonight. We're going back, and we're simply watching these women and learning something about them. Because there's a reason Mark put these women in. And there's a reason that Mark gave us details. This wasn't just filler. I was trying to think whether there's anything in the Bible that we can call filler. I suppose you could find some transition things somewhere that would be filler. But God wasn't in the business of giving us filler. Every word of God is valuable. There's something everywhere. One can take out the smallest portion and it shines forth. And though you have to come back and say, well, now, does that fit right in terms of the context? And have we understood the overall scope of things? And have we gotten how it fits in all of this? And that's true, and we must do that to understand it truly. But time and again, something jumps out of the Bible and is wonderfully encouraging to your soul. Just those few words spoke to your heart and said something to you. And I think it's an indication that this book is an amazing book. And the better you know it, the more amazed you are to find the wonder of what God has given us in this great book. And people nowadays aren't Bible readers like they used to be. And they don't love the Bible as they used to. And the reason they don't love it like they used to is because they don't know it like they used to. Because to know the Bible is to love the Bible. And so we want to look at a portion that we might otherwise, in great anticipation for what we know is coming, we might have jumped. I don't want to jump it today. I want to, first of all, note the loyalty of these women. And then I'd like us to note the resourcefulness of these women. And then commitment to Christ and its reward. If it were a movie of these women, we'd have a problem when it did come for the resurrection, because the Bible never tells us, well, what did they do with the cloths? And what did they do with the anointing oil? And what did they do with all they had? And if it were a movie, they'd have to just abandon it somewhere and run off with excitement because they had it, but it doesn't come in again. And you'd have to put all the details in. But we can realize they did happen, these things did happen, and we can think, now what was it like for these women? And what do we learn as we see this? Well, certainly what we learn about these women is the important thing. The details of what they did with the oil and all the other things don't make any difference, really. But the character of these women does. That matters a lot. And that's what I want to look at especially. So I want to read it again. We're going to look at the loyalty of these women, the resourcefulness of these women, and the last division, commitment to Christ and its reward. Let's read the passage one more time and ask God to help us. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Let's ask God to bless that little portion to us. Dear God, we do recognize that your Bible is a wonderful treasure, and it is so filled with wonderful gems that many of them we pass over without ever really noting. Lord, thank you for the fact that every word of God has value to us. And thank you that every person you recorded is a person to be studied and appreciated. Thank you for these women. Thank you for the many references to women that you have in the book of Mark, and the noble women that we encounter as we watch the followers of Jesus. Lord, bless us now and help us to appreciate these women at this time. And may this be a thing that speaks to our heart, that we might be lifted to emulate some of the things that we see in these dear ones. Grant us grace, Lord, and help us by your Spirit to that end, we pray. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. First, I'd like to note the loyalty of these women, which strikes me as remarkable. Their hopes have been dashed. They might have had a worst-case scenario in their mind, but probably they couldn't imagine how bad it would be, and it happened. The worst-case scenario. What they had hoped for and what they had longed for was gone. The one they had put their confidence in was done. It was over. And the ones that had meant so much to them, that had changed their life, had gone. And there was tremendous perplexity and a sense of defeat. Whenever we watch the defeat, we always know what's coming. And we almost want to tell the person, hang in there. You're going to see. But they couldn't see that. They didn't know what was coming. The worst case scenario had come to pass. There was nowhere to go from there. This was the finishing up, the tying up the loose ends, anoint the body, and leave. It wasn't a happy and joyful morning for them. Their hopes had been dashed. But this is Jesus. He loved us. He delivered us from our sins. This seems to contradict everything I believed. I do not understand. This will take an entire revamping of all that I thought. I don't know what to do at this point with it. But this is Jesus. I'll do what's right by him. These women were not saying, well, maybe everything will turn out all right. They're not saying that. And if we thought we saw that on their face, we didn't. Because they don't have a clue that something's going to turn out all right. Not a clue. Don't expect it at all. Their only concern is, how will we move the stone? No thought at all about what's coming. They're not saying maybe it will turn out all right after all. They know that this is the end. But this is Jesus. And we will do what is right by him. I would suggest there's amazing loyalty in these women. It's one thing to be loyal when there's hope that things might turn out after all. So you're loyal. But how are you loyal after it's all over? This is Jesus. And Jesus has touched their life in such a way that there may be tremendous perplexity, and there may be amazing uncertainty, and there may be tremendous sense of defeat and despondency and hurt. that this is Jesus. And they go to the tomb. I think that loyalty is amazing. And I think we see that in these amazing women. I think we're amazed at the resourcefulness of these women. They were not among those consulted by the rulers. In fact, I'm so thankful to Mark that he shows them to us because we wouldn't have seen anything about these women if Mark hadn't told us. This is the big deal. The women are not important. What's going on is not the big deal. The big deal is, what are the men doing? What are they doing? How is everything working out? You're concerned with the movers and shakers, none of these women. Who are they? Remarkably resourceful women. They waited to see what would be done. Now, they saw the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they waited to see what would be done. They probably feared, at first, that his body would be thrown on the trash heap, which the bodies of crucified people usually are, and that the dogs would eat the flesh. They probably feared that. And then they observed that someone came to take the body. Now, they couldn't have had all the answers because no one would have told them. I doubt, maybe somebody would have whispered, I think that's Joseph of Arimathea. Maybe he might have been that well known. He was pretty well known, but would they have known him? And besides that, people didn't know people by looking at them. People, they didn't have things on television and pictures and photographs. You had to know the person because you've seen him and somebody told you that's who it was. They didn't have the means that we have, so probably they had no idea who this man was that came and took the body and how they did it. They were probably surprised and wondering, who is going to throw it on the trash heap? That doesn't look like he's going to do that. They're amazing and just watching to see what's going on. And nobody would have consulted them. Nobody would have taken them aside and said, now listen, here's what's happening, ladies. Who would have done that? It was defeat. Jesus is dead. He's a criminal. He's dead. Get rid of him. But somebody takes the body. And probably they didn't go and tap the man on the shoulder and say, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? How could they do that? No, they watched. And they followed. And they saw where he was laid. The scripture says they saw where he was laid. So they're simply observing it. Very resourceful. They manage, in the midst of their grief and unhappiness and the sense of frustration and not being able to do something right now for the body and worried for what the body will happen to the body, they just carefully follow and watch to see what they're doing and take note of the place. That's all they can do. Nobody consults them about anything. They observe to see where the body is laid. They follow unseen and they make their plans. They need to get resources, the materials for anointing this body. That's what you do to show honor to the body. You have the linen you need and you have the spices that you need and you know what you're going to do, the way you're going to seek to cleanse the body, show respect for it. So they get the materials they need. They're resourceful. There isn't any place next to the graveyard that's got a little shop where you can buy these things. That's not like a market that comes along like a mall or something that has their little oil shop. No, they had to find where you get this, who had some, and they needed to arrange the circumstances. I think it's wonderful. They were resourceful to get the things they would need. They were ready to make, they made their plans, they obtained their material, they need linens, oils, etc. And then they honored God by observing his Sabbath. Because however their hearts were breaking and however urgent the thing was, God had said not to work on the Sabbath. So they didn't. And though they got up early in the morning on the next day and hurried as well as they could to the tomb and really wanted to be there, they didn't break the Sabbath to come. They were women that were devoted to the law of God and determined that however I feel, and whatever the things are that are going on inside me, and whatever might happen to the body in the 24 hours that I wait, of course, that's Palestine, it's hot weather. Probably the body will be a good deal less pleasant to deal with after a day than it would have been. But they honor God. Their women are committed to honor God. And they rose early. They went ahead, not knowing how they would accomplish this task. Verse 3, they don't know how. It says, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? They don't know how they're going to accomplish the task. And yet they go. This is Jesus. They're going. These things are remarkable considering the fact that They know that Jesus is dead, and they don't understand anything about his resurrection. Now, I would suggest that that is the case, although we know he has talked about his resurrection. He's taken his disciples aside and specifically taught them that he would die and be buried or be crucified, spat upon. Amazing how often he mentions spat upon. Spat upon, crucified, and buried, and the third day he rise again. He told his disciples that, but they didn't want to hear it. Sometimes they were bold enough. One time Peter said, "Lord, this will not happen to you," and he'd be rebuked. And even though he wouldn't rebuke the Lord anymore for it, he didn't like the message. And it's apparent he didn't make it known. The disciples apparently did not teach others, particularly, that Jesus would rise again. Now, they would have known it because Jesus had told them. But these women didn't know that. These women who hung on the words of the apostles and wanted always to know, they weren't privy to this fact that Jesus would rise again. And so they didn't think that he would. And the disciples, even if they knew, they didn't understand themselves, and they didn't make it part of their preaching. But this was Jesus. They were going to show honor to Jesus, and it didn't matter that they didn't understand, and it didn't matter that they didn't see how they could do it, and it didn't matter that it was the end, and it didn't matter that their hopes were dashed, and it didn't matter that they had nothing to look forward to except the grim and miserable task of seeking to try to show kindness to him. But that is Jesus, and we are going to do it. I would suggest these women are quite amazing. They rose early, they went ahead, not knowing how they'd accomplish the task. All they knew was that this was Jesus, who had loved them and delivered them from their sins. The worst case scenario working out did not change what Jesus had said had been to them. They were loyal and tremendously resourceful in their determination to honor him. And I think on the way to the tomb, and without getting too excited by what we know is going to happen, we ought to stop and look at these women. I believe that's worth seeing. I believe to see them with no hope, but it's Jesus. And they face all this and they respond in the way they do. I would suggest it's a wonderful example, a wonderful picture of loyalty to the Lord Jesus. And it seems the only thing that could move them was the fact this is Jesus. And they don't understand anything that's going on, but this is Jesus. I'm going to do what I can. That seems to be the thing that moved them. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's amazing. I think it's remarkable to see the loyalty, the commitment, and the resourcefulness of these women. Well, note the commitment to Christ that's shown there. Commitment to Christ in the midst of the dashing of all my hopes. That's what they experienced. Commitment to Christ in the midst of the dashing of all their hopes. Commitment to Christ despite disappointment and sorrow. When my hopes and dreams have come and gone. We think of that at the end of a person's life when their hopes and dreams have come and gone. Their hopes and dreams came and went before they died. And they're going to see and to minister to the Lord after their hopes and dreams have come and gone. When I do not expect any good to come out of it. They didn't go expecting any good, personally. In no way anticipating that they'd see the living Christ, that they'd fellowship with him, that he would manifest himself to them, that he would delight to do so. We'll be noting on the fact that he gave the message to them by means of the angel, and while they're on the way to do what the angel said, they're going to get a visit from Jesus. He delights to show himself, but they know none of that at this time. And if you just pull back a little bit and view what was happening at that time, you can see what an amazing surprise it was to them. Commitment to Christ when I do not expect any good to come from it. When I know I would be laughed at if some people knew. And some people would have thought, that's ridiculous. It's a criminal. He's been killed. What are you doing? Wasting good money? Listen, let him go to the dogs. He's a criminal. What's the point? It's all over. Hey, listen, we hoped it would be. It isn't. Now wake up. Suck it up and deal with it. Or some kind of term like that. And something in them said, no, this is Jesus. I'm going. Well, that kind of commitment to Christ, when you know you'd be laughed at if some people knew. This is Jesus who loved me and delivered me from my sin. The change in my life didn't change. Job had said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I feel slain, but I'm serving him. This is the kind of commitment that these women felt. I think it's astonishing when you think about it. And it's wonderful when you consider the reward that they got. That kind of commitment in the midst of the bleakest of circumstances, that kind of commitment received a wonderful reward. They weren't allowed to do what they intended because he's alive. What a thing they must have felt. They came intending to do it hard as it was, and they weren't allowed because he's alive. What a thing it must have done to them. And can we appreciate the excitement they must have felt without seeing first what they felt as they came? And what we're looking at now, we'll look at the excitement that they felt. We look at the wonder of the whole thing. But what a wonderful thing to see them rewarded by their faithfulness. They were not allowed to do what they intended because he was alive. He would show himself to them. He would send them on a happy errand to witness to others. He would vindicate their trust and make them examples of faith for us 2,000 years later. It's always amazing to see the ordinary nobodies that, by means of the scripture, witness to others 2,000 years later. An example, a wonderful picture that lifts our faith and strengthens us. He would vindicate them, make them examples for us. My hopes are dashed, but this is Jesus. It didn't turn out like I hoped, but this is Jesus. What I can do seems futile and wasted, but this is Jesus. My faith isn't even as strong as it should be, but this is Jesus. What a joy when he draws near. How wonderful to experience his vindication. What delight to be sent to others with the good news. How wonderful to fellowship with him as he meets along the way. This is Jesus. Others may not immediately receive my testimony. Even believers may still doubt, but this is Jesus. He will make himself known. He will make himself known to his people. He will honor their loyalty. He will use them to continue his work. Thank you, Jesus, for this encouragement. Thank you, living Lord, for your triumph. These women were loyal, resourceful, and committed. And you and I should be loyal, resourceful, and committed. With much more reason than they did. They were loyal in spite of the fact their hopes were dashed. We have reason to be loyal. Our hopes are fulfilled. Jesus rose. He didn't remain in the tomb. We know it. They didn't know it, and they showed me strength. How much more should we? Be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the circumstances. This is Jesus. And some of you have experienced real help by remembering this is Jesus. You've gone through a terrible thing, a blow that you never would have wanted, and your first response to what happened was, oh no. And your wish was, I wish I could wake up tomorrow and find that this never happened. You had those things, but the thing that has gotten you through is this is Jesus. You don't have the darkness that they had, because you know the reality of his resurrection from the dead. But you've had the experience, the end has come. Everything I lived for is gone. It's all gone. But the thing that has comforted you, this is Jesus. And you've embraced it. They did before the resurrection, before they knew of the resurrection. Not before the resurrection, but before they knew of it. How much more we? Committed, though things are pretty bleak, though what hits us is the last thing in the world we wanted, though it does not go the way we want it to go, and though we do not understand why it went the way it did. In spite of all that, we have reason to trust, because this is Jesus. And Jesus, who had this wonderful experience for them, has a wonderful experience for us. And those that are committed to the Lord in spite of the darkness, in spite of the perplexity, in spite of the fact that all your hopes and dreams have come and gone, in spite of the fact that the bleakest and most terrible calamity that you could imagine has come, in spite of the worst case scenario, in spite of it all, we have reason to trust. This is Jesus. And if they could be strengthened to trust because it was Jesus, we can too. He forgave their sins. He delivered them from darkness. He filled their life with joy. He's done that for us. And he may yet bring us through times of terrible perplexity and darkness. This is Jesus. And you've had times when terrible things happened, but you saw the hand of Jesus, and you said, "This is from the Lord." Remember something that so blessed me, a little faithful saying that Gretchen wrote on the bottom of something when she's facing her calamity. And she just wrote what she'd maybe heard somewhere else: "For this I have Jesus." That's a wonderful thing to remember when everything else collapses, when everything goes wrong. "For this I have Jesus." And I remember how that ministered to my heart when she just wrote another thing: "For this I have Jesus." That's where we need to be. That's where we ought to. There's no reason not to be there. We have much more reason than they did, because we see the vindication of it all. We see Jesus rising triumphant. We see Jesus accomplishing. Jesus going forth, conquering and to conquer. We see Jesus arising and ascending to the right hand of the Father. We see his faithfulness through 2,000 years of history, where God has sustained and helped his people. And with all the calamities they've faced, this is Jesus doing it. And he's worth serving and living for, whatever happens to us. I know when I say that, how do I know what's going to happen to me? I mean, I speak so confidently, yeah, but what about when disaster strikes me? How about that can time? Yeah, well, I hope by God's grace he'll help me to be able to look at what it is and say, "This is Jesus." I know the few things that I have experienced that have been shocking and upsetting have been helped because it's Jesus. If Jesus did it, we trust. He's going to bring out of it that which is far beyond what we can imagine. In all my experience, he has. Will I get a really bad thing? I mean, something that really is rough? Well, I trust that in such a time, it will be comforting and helpful to remember this is Jesus. He has done it. And we can look back to these women and say, look what they had. Simply because it's Jesus. Let me remember, in all the perplexity of my situation, this is Jesus. And may it be an encouragement and a blessing to me. May God help us to learn from these women, to see their example and say, I have more reason to act with confidence than they did. And look what they did. And all because it was Jesus. I have Jesus. I have 1,000 times more reason to look at this calamity and go forward in faith and commitment to Christ. Whether people laugh, whether people reject, whether I seem intelligent, whatever anyone thinks. The big thing is, this is Jesus, and he's worth the commitment that I can give. May God encourage us with that fact and enable us to say that when the next calamity strikes. This is Jesus. And take it as from him and look to him for help. May God do that for us and encourage us by the example of these women. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for these dear women and their amazing commitment, their amazing appreciation for what Jesus had done for them, that in the midst of the darkest calamity, they go forth because it's you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the example that these women are to us. And thank you for your wonderful triumph over the grave. We thank you for what we know is going to happen even to these women, and there's going to be a breaking forth of the most wonderful light into their lives. Lord, that light is broken forth into our lives, and we've seen it, and we see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the conquering of death. Oh, Lord, help us in the next calamity that we face, the next darkness that we have to pass through. Grant us grace to see it as from your hand and take it willingly and with faith, because it's you. Help us, Lord, we pray. Thank you that you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your promise to be with us at that time of need, and that you'll never fail us, and your Spirit will supply that which we need. We believe this, Lord, and we ask you to help us to believe it at the time of loss. Grant us grace, we pray, and help us as we press on. And we give you praise and thanks and honor for being the God who's worthy of this trust. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to sing hymn number 173 from the hymnal. Number 173. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.